Well, good morning. We continue on in Romans by beginning chapter 15 today. I want to start off by reading Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul." Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with humility." And we jump to the end. It says, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." It is God's will for us to have a unified church, unified group of believers. And so he continues on this topic into chapter 15 of Romans. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. So we do not use strength as an opportunity or means to hurt, but rather to step in and be an encouragement to our weaker brothers and sisters, and not just please ourselves." You see, this is done not to please ourselves, but rather to please our neighbors. In verse 2, not as people pleasers, but serving the Lord for the sake of the good and joy of others, for his good. We act in ways which are to benefit others. We act in ways which are to their edification. We act in a way which should be building them up, to bolster them, to strengthen them. Verse 3, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the taunts of those who taunt you have fallen on me." So we see from Psalm 69, this quote taken, "Jesus took our suffering and our sorrow, our punishment upon himself. He did not come to please himself, but to do the will of the Father, to save us from our sins." John 8:29, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things which are pleasing to him." Verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me." You see, the scriptures were written for the sake of God's children, that we would come to know him and to know Christ. And this truth is echoed as well in Romans 4, 23, in regards to Abraham. It says, "Now, not for his sake only was it written that righteousness was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." We could also consider passages such as Hebrews chapter 11, the statements of individuals whom God gave these incredible gifts of faith, and they followed after him as an encouragement for us. So he continues and says, "So that through perseverance, continuing under the weight of life, holding on to the confession that Jesus and Jesus alone saves, and the encouragement of the scriptures, we are encouraged through the truths given from God in his word, we might have hope." This is where we find hope in God's word. What was written in the Old Testament and the New Testament gives us hope, faith in that which we have not yet seen, the very thing which motivates our perseverance and our continuance against trials, mocking, persecution, and death. How so? Well, a God who created everything out of absolutely nothing, who promised salvation while being a just judge of sin, who preserved mankind through an ark of grace despite man's unrepentant sin, who gave children to the barren, who gave life to the dead, who gave deliverance to the captive, judgment to the unrepentant, raised up a nation from nothing, sustained a lineage to a savior, a God who always, always keeps his word. We place our hope in him. We don't look to our circumstances, our strength, but God and his promises. Now, verse 5, may the God, which God? What character does this God have? And what does he do for us? Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, he's the one who sustains us. We persevere so as long as God preserves us, as Spurgeon says. An encouragement, what greater comfort than God himself dwelling inside of us? If he can and does preserve and encourage us, don't you think he can grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus? He gives us his grace according to his will. So that, this is the purpose, with one purpose and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17, 21, Jesus says that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I also have given to them, so that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them just as you loved me. As we love each other and have unity, we are a testimony to the love and the unity which the Son and the Father share. And so we too reflect that unity to the world around us by the grace of God. Thank you.